1 Corinthians 14, and this will be the last night you'll be able to behave yourself. I want to finish the studies on 1 Timothy chapter 3 that tells us in these words. Let me just read these to you once more. It says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how men ought to behave themselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." How men ought to behave themselves. And so now, you'll get some more examples of behavior in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. There was so much Wednesday night we learned about our behavior at the Lord's Supper. But we'll find out that in the early church, it was not just the Lord's Supper, but there were several meetings all together, and concerning them, it says in verse 26, What is it then, brethren, when you come together, each one hath a song, hath a teaching, hath a revelation, hath a tongue, hath an interpretation. Now, notice those things once more. What is it then, brethren, when you come together? So, this is not what you have individually in your home, wherever you might be, but what you have individually, when you come together, then collectively, what do we have? Each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation, that all things be done unto edifying. If any man speaketh in a tongue, let it be by two, or at the most three, and that in turn, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. And let the prophet speak by two or three, and let the others judge or discern whether they are truly speaking God's prophecy. Verse 30. But if a revelation be made to another sitting by, let the first keep silent. For you all can prophesy one by one, that all may learn, and all may be exhorted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Let the women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but let them be in subjection, as also saith the law. And if they would learn anything, let them ask their own husbands at home. For it is shameful for a woman to speak in the church. What? Was it from you that the word of God went forth? Or came it unto you alone? If any man thinketh himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him take knowledge of the things which I write unto you, that they are the commandment of the Lord. But if any man is ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, my brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues, but let all things be done decently and in order. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful that you are not a God who saves us and then leaves us to ourselves, but having clearly, distinctly, without variation, told us how to be saved, you also tell us how to live after we are saved. We remember the words that your Son spoke to his apostles just before he went back to heaven. Go therefore and teach all nations, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And therefore, our Father, we will want to know all these things that you have commanded us, and to be obedient unto those things, and then we shall know that we are behaving ourselves as we should in the house of God. So from the portions that we've read tonight, our Father, help us to learn. Let us take to heart what Paul said. If any man thinketh himself to be a prophet, or a spiritual person, or having spiritual gifts, let him take knowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. And let us remember that, Father, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable, and accepted from thee, our Father, as your command. So help us to understand it this night. Bless us in the portion that we've read together, and the other portions in thy will that we shall consider. We thank you for this day, for everything that you've done for us and given to us, for the chance to think of Jesus Christ, our Lord, his care for us. And now, we desire to be obedient unto him and to learn the things that he would have taught us had he remained on earth. We remember that he said, I have yet many things to tell you, but you cannot bear them now. Thy Spirit is come and guided into all truth. So by that same Spirit, teach us in the truths into which he has guided us. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. What is so strange about this portion that we read in 14:26 is that it used to be, when I was a very young man, that I would read it to people who were in the denomination, showing them that there were to be several speakers and a variety of speakers when Christians came together. There should not be one, but more speakers than one. Now, that is right. This is what it teaches. But this portion was not written to have more people to speak, but to have less people to speak. You say, how is that? Here, when the Christians at Corinth came together, they had gifts beyond compare. It says in chapter 1 that they came behind in no gifts. And when they came together, all of them wanted to display the gifts that God had given them, which, in a sense, was good. But what the Apostle Paul is telling them is this. When you come together, though all of you have gifts, and all of you come with that gift, yet that gift must be limited as to how many with that gift speak, and also there must be an orderliness in the way that you who have these gifts rise and speak. So understand, it is not Paul trying to get more people to speak, because this was not an error in Corinth. In the denominations, it is, because they have one man, and he is brought in and paid to do the praying, to do the preaching, to do the visiting, to do the ruling, and sometimes assisted by some. But never is it in the intention of any denomination that I know for the preacher to be there and to have all those that are gifted in the assembly to come and exercise their gift. That's not the way that they have things set up. And so if they read this portion, it would be startling to some. And those with honest hearts look at it and say, then this is not my church. I am not the preacher of this church. I am simply a gift from God, and I have considered some in the congregation, and to speak honestly with you, some of them knew as much about the Word of God as I do, and they're more spiritual than I am, and yet in my position, they never have an opportunity to exercise that gift. Something is wrong here. And they go on, sometimes, their whole life long, knowing that this portion of the Word of God is present, but never taking it to heart and never putting it into practice. Let me give you an example of what I learned just some months back, that some people who read the New Testament and understood about New Testament truth, they considered the church, the denomination that they were attending, and they went and asked their pastor about it, and he was not able to give them any explanation. And I read it in a magazine, was told about it, that this brother was on his computer. They have something called chatting in that computer. And evidently, there was a group of Christians, and on this computer, they would chat and discuss portions of the Word of God. And this man, who was in a good, sound denomination, heard them say what the Word of God taught as the New Testament truth. And he was amazed. He said, yes, he said, as I've studied the Bible, I see that's just what he taught. But where are you going to find anybody that carries out these things taught in the New Testament, that has a New Testament church? And they were able to tell him they were out west somewhere, and he was in Richmond, Virginia, and they sent him on his computer, why, in the very town in which you live, there is an assembly that meets the way that we've been discussing. And he went, and he saw it, and his heart rejoiced, and he got others to come with him and take their place in the New Testament church. So that is what is so remarkable. But others have looked at this and have seen it, but have thought that nowhere in the world are these things carried out. And then they find out that they are, and what they learn, they will never, if they're taught of God, go back to that which is different from what is set forth in the Word of God. Now, what I want us to do, and I wish all the brethren were here, because what we have done, instead of coming today and staying for hour after hour after hour, we have come for a portion of an hour for the remembrance meeting, and then we had an hour for singing and for Bible study, and tonight we've come together again. And it used to be, in the old assemblies, when you came together in the evening, it was always to preach the gospel. But notice that they had a variety of meetings, and unless they had some special brother that came in from a distant town, in the morning they would have one speaker, and at night they would have another speaker, and often they would have two speakers. That is the way. When it says, let your prophet speak two and three at a time, that's what I was brought up on in Raleigh, North Carolina. Because I was a young man, and at that time, you would have an older brother, and he would go and speak to a younger brother, and say, I want you to speak with me tonight. You take the first part of the meeting, and I will take the second part of the meeting. And it was always good, because as a young man, you thought you could get up and preach an hour. But you would get up and all those notes that you had prepared, suddenly you had gone through them in 5 or 10 minutes, and then it was time for you to sit down. And then the older brother would come up and correct anything that you had said that was wrong and fill in all the time that was needed. And that happened here just some months back. I remember this dear brother that came to visit us, and he was supposed to speak, let's say, for the hour, and he intelligently spoke as much as he could, and then he said, that's all that I've got to say. And there was 20 minutes left, and so I, as an older brother, got up and filled in the rest of the time. And that was nothing out of the ordinary. That was just the way it had been done when I was a young man, and that's the way it was done in the early church, except for this. instead of having long breaks, as we do, for what we gather here, they would come together for hours at a time, and you would have ever so many carrying out the gift that they had bestowed upon them by God for this reason. Suppose now we came at 9:45 in the morning, and we were going to remember the Lord, and then we were going to have three people that gave praise to God to stand up and speak, and then to have three preachers that were to speak. How long would we be here? 1 hour after another after another. And yet this is what happened in the early church. They had a day to meet together, to fellowship with one another and be around the Word of God. And for hour after hour, that's what they did. And our brother Rose was a missionary in India. And when he was there, he said, I learned certain habits and I understood the teaching of the New Testament for this reason. When I was in India, there would be some of these poor Indians that would travel for hours to come and attend a meeting of the church. And he said, if they had come for 3 or 4 hours to get there, and then I had stood up and spoken for 30 minutes and then dismissed the meeting, they would have been brokenhearted. They would have been disappointed. They had traveled all of these miles and these hours to get there, and they wanted the Word of God in abundance. And so he said, for that reason, I would speak 1 hour, 2 hours, or however long it was necessary for him to speak. And what was so difficult was that when he came back from India and he started preaching here, at times he could still go on for 1 hour and 2 hours, and the people in the assemblies, they were not able to take it. But Paul takes that into consideration, except he would think nothing of being at a meeting for ever so long a time. If you'll remember, in Acts chapter 20, Paul was preaching, and he continued his discourse until midnight, and Eutychus fell out of the window. And I have no doubt that if I preached to you, let's say, from now until midnight, many of you would not be falling out the window. You'd be walking out the door, or you would be going to sleep in your chair. There'd be very few people that would be able to pay attention. However, I'm thinking of someone like the Apostle Paul and how his heart was full, and here are those that did not have a complete Bible, a Word of God, and they did not know these doctrines. And what you've heard over and over and over again, they had never heard in the first place. And then maybe they had heard it once, but they did not have it explained in detail to them. And therefore, when they would come together, they would look forward to learning all these new things. And I can appreciate that, because as a young man, I would go to various meetings, and at times we would have conferences, and a well-known brother would come and speak, and I would rejoice because he would speak about something in the Bible that I might have read, but I knew nothing about. And he would speak, and then another brother would get up and speak, and there would be a variety of teaching from the Word of God. One man would be one who taught strictly, and another one would speak devotionally, and another one would exhort you. And when you left those conferences, your heart was rejoicing. Now, after I've been saved over 50 years, there is hardly anything that a brother can come and preach on that I haven't heard preached on before, but he can come and with warmth and with fervor and with devotion to the Lord, preach on that doctrine, and my heart rejoices again. So, what we do, just as in New Testament times, on occasion, if a gifted man like Apollos or Peter or Paul were to come to a meeting, they would say, you take the ministry this day. And he would. But if it were no special one, and if Paul and even Barnabas were together, as in Acts chapter 13, you'll find that Paul and Barnabas would speak, and their speaking developed a gift in the other men that were in the church, and then they had not only Paul and Barnabas speaking, but the other man in the assembly at Antioch speaking as well. And the Spirit of God said, you're not needed here anymore. You can go and help other churches. And for that reason, there is no man that is a gift to one church. You'll find that the gifts that Christ has given are for the whole church. Now, some of the gifts are so limited that they're not equipped to go around and teach in various churches. For this reason, I've told you here that it's very probable that you who are here, including me, can preach better than some of those that you invite to come down here and preach. And why, when someone wants to be commended, and this is what has happened before, there are some who want to be commended for the work of the Lord, and yet the very churches that they are going to have perhaps two or four brethren in that church that can preach better and give more intelligent and enjoyable messages than the one that wants to go and help the people of God. And that is a lack of wisdom when such a thing as that happens. And for that reason, you have to be strong and say, no, we believe that your gift is a local gift. It's not for the whole church, but it is to be exercised in the church here. And for that reason, we can't commend you. We can love you, and we can use you here, but we do not believe that you're so gifted that you can be sent to all the churches everywhere. So keep that in mind. But here, understand that when they came together, and the reason I want to bring this to your attention is, especially at the Lord's Supper, because if we did as some of the meetings did, we not only at the Lord's Supper, but in Raleigh, it used to be this way at the prayer meeting as well. We would all come together and sing some hymns, and there would be a pause, and then some brother would get up and preach. And when he would finish, another brother would get up and preach perfectly in order. Or it may be that someone was designated to speak. It just depends. But please notice the openness here. And in a church, they are not pressed so that they need someone to come and minister to them all the time. That's what I'm trying to tell you here. You have to be able to take care of yourself. And if you are loved and respected, the messages that you give, even though they may not be of the highest quality, you may not have 5 talents, but if from your heart and if in prayer you speak to the children of God and you love them and you're seeking to teach them, they will accept your ministry. But here now, we're going to take it at this meeting when they all come together. What is it then, brethren? When you come together, every one of you, all of you, have, and notice, not the same thing, but one has a song, one has a teaching, one has a revelation, one has a tongue, one has an interpretation. Now, these are gifts from God, and not all people have these gifts from God. Turn to chapter 12. Turn to chapter 12. Let me show you. Verse 28. And God hath set some in the church. First apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, divers kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But desire earnestly the greater gifts, and moreover, a most excellent way I show unto you. So notice that not all have the same gift, and some gifts are greater than other gifts. And it says, God hath set in the church, and it says, first apostles, then prophets, then teachers, and lastly it gives that he set in the church tongues. But what happened was this, that those that had the gift, the last gift, the one that is listed as the least of the gifts, it was the one that was outwardly a gift that was displaying and would show off the person And they could get up and exercise this gift of tongues that they had, whether anybody was there that could interpret it or not. And not only so, but you have the gift of tongues and I have the gift of tongues, and so both of us at the same time get up and we're speaking in tongues. And that's entirely wrong. The Apostle Paul says, if you speak in a tongue, one at a time. Three can speak, but that in turn. So, what he's trying to do is not get more people to speak in tongues, but he is limiting the number to speak in tongues, and he's bringing order out of the confusion that was taking place when they spoke in tongues. So understand this. You may be gifted from God, but you may not understand the discipline of God. And if I have gifts, it does not mean that I am to eclipse you, that I am to set you aside, and you are never to minister the gift that you have from God. That is what some would do. And here are these with tongues, but remember, the ones with tongues, here are others that have the gift of prophecy, they have the gift of teaching, they had the ability to give psalms, and yet they were taking up so much of the time that nobody else had a chance to speak, and nobody was getting benefited by it because their speaking in tongues were not interpreted, and so it was just gibberish. Isn't that a remarkable thing? They were speaking in languages, but languages that nobody understood. Now, when someone speaks in a tongue, if there is a man who has the ability to interpret, the Apostle Paul said, that is fine. But if you have the gift of tongues, and there's nobody there to interpret that tongue, even though you have a gift and you're in the church, keep silence. You understand. You may have a gift, but there are times when you're not to exercise that gift. And I will mention this now. It says the same thing concerning women. And women have the gift of prophecy, and they can teach some of them better than men. But just as even though a man had the gift of tongues, under certain conditions, he was to keep silence. Notice that. Let him keep silence. And it says concerning women who have this gift of prophecy, that they are not to exercise this gift of prophecy. They are not to speak in the church. Now the question arises, and I understand it perfectly. It says in 1 Corinthians 11, if a woman prays or prophesies with her head uncovered, she dishonors her head. But what happens is this, that he doesn't take the sphere, the area in which a woman is to exercise her gift in chapter 11. She is permitted to exercise that gift anywhere except in the church. You'll find that Aquila and Priscilla were man and wife, and Priscilla had the ability to teach, and when Apollos came along, Apollos was taken into their home, and Priscilla, being covered, was permitted to teach this man as she was in subjection to her husband. But at no time, this friend of Paul, Aquila and Priscilla, at no time would Priscilla be allowed to get up and preach in the church because the women in the church were to keep silence. And so understand that there are those to whom a woman can teach, and she teaches without the authority of the man, other women and children. But if she is in the presence of the church where there are men, she is not to pray or prophesy audibly. She's not to represent the assembly. And if a man has a gift, but the conditions aren't right, he is not to preach with that tongue. It might be like this. If this place suddenly were filled with unsaved people, and one of you had the special gift of preaching the gospel, I can preach the gospel. I've done it so many times. God has helped me. But my main gift is to teach, to explain the Word of God. And you were here, I would say, the place is filled with unsaved people, and I believe that God can use your gift better than he can use my gift at this time. You preach. So take all of these things into consideration. And so here they are at Corinth, and they have gifts, but the gift that they have is being abused, and it's disorderly, and because of that, the Christians aren't being blessed. But it seems like a madhouse to those that come in from the outside. Here they come in and everybody's speaking in tongues, and Paul says, if this happens, they will think that you're insane. And I've heard that some people who have gone to meetings that practice such things as Paul is trying to correct, that is the impression that some people go away with when they leave the meeting. They say, that is a madhouse. And Paul says, let all things be done decently and in order. All right. Now, this is what I want you to understand. The trouble with Corinth was not that they did not have gifts. It was not that when they came to the church, nobody had anything to give. Everybody had something to give, but they weren't giving it in a decent and in an orderly way. But what I am concerned about us here, all the men, when we come, does each one of us have something that we bring to contribute to God? And if not, you are wrong when you come to a meeting like the Lord's Supper. You come, and it may be that you can give out a song. It may be that you can give a teaching. It may be that as a priest, you can offer up spiritual words, praises, worship to God. But when you come, you're to have something. And if this is so, we come together, and it says in the Gospel of Luke, when the hour was come, they sat down. And when they sat down, the Lord Jesus began the Passover. And during the Passover, he ordained the Lord's Supper. So here we are. Now, let me give you an example. Suppose tonight, when Tommy called on Ron to pray, he said, now it's time to pray, and our brother Ron will pray. And we sat there, and we waited, and waited, and waited, and waited. What's wrong? You say, it's time to pray, but he's not praying. I'm so thankful that for the last 4 weeks, the remembrance meetings have been so good, but at times, when we are here, it's time to pray, to give out a hymn, to read a portion from the Word of God, and we wait, and wait, and wait for what reason? It says, when you come together, each one of you has something. Now, if you came empty, you're not behaving yourself. And if you came with something, but the silence is there, and the Spirit of God is prompting praises and worship to arise to the Lord Jesus, and nobody says anything, don't you see that something is wrong? And so, we are not to be foolish, but to understand what the will of the Lord is. And if we all come together and have something to give, we are just the opposite many times of the church at Corinth. At Corinth, everybody wanted to do something so much that other people never have a chance to give out what they came to give. But so many times with us, we come together, and if all of us bring something, there's plenty of time to give something, but nobody does it. So be exercised in heart concerning that and discerning. And it's like this. If I have gotten up and given thanks for the loaf and it's been passed, what is the reason for waiting and waiting and waiting before we give thanks for the cup? Do you not see that intelligence, as it says, understand what the will of the Lord is? It's time for somebody to give thanks for the cup. And that's what we have to do. Now, if God has laid a message on your heart, and the hymn that is given out points to the fact that God has indeed given you that to speak on, and the hymn goes along, and the prayer goes along with what is on your heart, and then there is a silence, then the Lord is telling you to get up and give the portion that He's laid on your heart. Or else, we bring all these things together, and we don't have time to give them out because somebody that has it won't give it out. So sometimes, and I've been to meetings, so many want to preach, and sometimes people will be rushing to get up and preach, but we have to respect one another. But I'm afraid that here, we respect each other so much that I'm waiting for somebody else to do it. And remember, you say, well, I'm not a gifted man. I can't give an extended teaching. No, but you are a priest of God, and you can stand up and worship God. And at the same time, you can understand the tone of the meeting, and you can find a hymn in the Word of God that goes along with what the meeting and the theme of the meeting is setting before our hearts. This morning, it was about the Lord Jesus, the care and love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it wasn't difficult for me to give out a hymn. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. And Jesus, the very thought of thee, Jesus, that name is love. So be intelligent. Come with something and be respectful, but at the same time, if there is silence, then take it from God that it's time for you to give what you've brought and God wants you to give. Now, time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for the opportunity that you have given us to exercise the gift that your Son bestowed upon us. When he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. We are thankful that we are in a place where those gifts can be recognized and where they can be exercised. Our Father, since this is true, let us, when we come together, with what gifts you have given, let us have something to give. Indeed, let us be polite, Father. Let us not be determined to show off what we have, but let us be willing to share the ministry of the Word of God with others, and prayers, and giving thanks for the loaf and the cup, for all of these things, our Father. Let us do things decently and in order. Let us not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And then, our God, we will be behaving ourselves in the house of God. Bless us to this end, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.